And they're on.
The Cheltenham Show.
On Off the Ball.
With Kildare Village. Where there's something extraordinary every day.
Now, welcome back. So we're turning to day two of Cheltenham. We'll have Johnny Ward with us in a moment. First, David Jennings, Deputy Irish Editor of the Racing Post on the line. Evening, David.
Hi, Joe.
So in broad terms, how is Cheltenham 2019 going for you?
Good so far. It was a devastating day one. It took me by the roots. But day two was actually quite good. Envoy Allen winning the bumper was a big high, but it was almost a Beano because I fancied Wicklow Brave in the Coral Cup and backed him at 50-1, and he was beaten a short head.
We've had plenty of interesting stories. Martin Brassel from Kildare with his first ever Cheltenham winner this afternoon. Mark Walsh on board. Altior prevailed in the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Gordon Elliott got things moving. Tiger Roll, 22 length winner. You mentioned Jamie Codd there, and Joseph O'Brien trained his first Cheltenham winner as well. So plenty of stories today.
Huge stories. That's why we're probably still here in the press room. From an Irish perspective, it was a terrific day. It was a big day for Gordon. He had four favourites today, and the first two of them were obviously beaten. Battle Over Dian was hugely disappointing. Delta Work ran okay. So there was huge pressure on the small shoulders of Tiger Roll because Gordon had a stone face going into that race. He didn't look well. All the colour had been drained from his face, but Tiger Roll came up with the goods. He's just far superior to every other horse that runs in that discipline. And Keith Donoghue rode him. I actually did a piece in tomorrow's Racing Post with Keith Donoghue. He was 12.5 stone 2 years ago, and he had given up riding. He had just completely fallen out of love with the game. He's 6'1", and he got his career back on track. He got down to 11 stone 1. And the only thing he had eaten from Monday morning to the race today was two pieces of white pudding.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine doing that, Joe.
I wouldn't like to. So clearly height and genetics are against him in this game.
Yeah, completely. He's 6'1". He's a big enough lad. But like to be able to manage that, I spoke to him on Monday. And he ran 6 miles on Monday. He ran the cross-country course and then he ran the normal course. And I said to him today, I said, are you not absolutely starving? And he says, no, he says, I'm actually fine this year, he said, because last year I had to lose 7 pounds in 3 hours. He said, I only have to lose one today. He went into the sauna for 25 minutes and got rid of that. And he was able to drink water. He said he wasn't able to drink water last year. So I suppose silver lining and all that.
Yeah, he's from Dunshaughlin in Meath. And so is he back in love with the sport and hoping to kick on and continue?
Yeah, he completely is. He's able to manage his weight now. He said, like, he eats pretty regularly. He's got a good dietitian now. That was obviously just a rare occurrence this week, having to not basically eat for 2 days. But he's back on the straight and narrow now. He's basically 11 stone 3 now, which is obviously lighter than probably somebody that's 6'1" is. I think I'm about that myself, and I'm probably 5 stone heavier than that. But he seems to have got it all in order. He's loving the game at the moment. Gordon Elliott has been really good to him. And now he's had two Cheltenham Festival winners thanks to Tiger Roll. So I'm sure he's loving life right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Johnny Ward, you've joined us. Hello.
How are you, Joe?
How's the form? We were just touching on Tiger Roll there. I mean, Rom Tone, 22 lengths, devastating.
Yeah, he probably beat very little in the race. You know, the rest of the field kind of fell apart, basically, including his kind of main market rivals. But Keith could have put up 3 stone over today. There was absolutely no need for him to do anything because the horse had so much in hand. It was an incredible sense of superiority in what is obviously a very idiosyncratic race. I wasn't expecting to win like that, but for a horse to go off the boil like he seemingly did after winning the Triumph Hurdle 5 years ago and to come on and win the Grand National and win two cross-country chases, the National and Chase at Cheltenham, literally nobody can predict that. And there's almost no logic to it. It's just a complete black swan situation. It's freakish. And he just seems to be loving the game, as does Keith.
Michael O'Leary, I think, was saying afterwards, we don't expect to see him in the Grand National, though.
Yeah, I'd highly doubt that. I don't see where else he'd be going.
Yeah, okay. What did that mean for Gordon Elliott? Because David was making the point he was starting to look fairly stony-faced before Tiger Roll.
Yeah, like, to be fair, if you said to Gordon, you know, he'd have a winner at Cheltenham and it would be in the cross-country chase, and to the O'Learys, he definitely wouldn't be accepting that. The cross-country race isn't of any major consequence apart from, I suppose, emotional reasons and the fact that it can provide you with a winner. But realistically, in terms of the future, he needs winners in good races, and he had one in the bumper in the shape of Envoy Allen. Because Gordon isn't the best loser in the world. He can take it a bit to heart. He has done this at Cheltenham before, where he's admitted that he's felt like not showing up, and Willie seems to be a lot more sort of level in terms of the highs and the lows. But the fact that he got two winners today will have him very much relaxed. And it's just that sense of relief that you're not going to go through the 4 days with nothing. And yeah. The winner of the bumper was very, very good.
So I looked, there were a lot of people weighing in on the Queen Mother Chamois Chase, and a lot of people relying on Altior to dig them out of a hole in many respects. He did, I mean, prevailed in the end. Was this closer than everybody was expecting, Johnny?
Yeah, it probably was. The winning distances predicted would have been bigger than this. Indeed, the horse who finished third, Sor Royale, he actually went odds on in running, which is quite remarkable considering. If anyone's watched Altior before, he just powers clear in his races. He's kind of like the cat with the mouse, where the cat plays with the mouse, lets the mouse think that he's getting away, and then just kind of claws him back very sadistically. And Altior's a bit like that. He just has so much left at the end of his races. But he was a little bit untidy at some of his jumps today that maybe got him into a hole that he shouldn't have been in. But it's still probably not a bad renewal of the race, and his superiority was still very, very clear at the end. He's an amazing, amazing horse, and funnily enough, I'm not even sure he got the same reception as Tiger Roll, who basically won the Egg and Spoon race that is the cross country.
Why not, do you think?
Everyone seems to love Tiger Roll. They just love a little underdog that's, you know, obviously he won the Grand National as well, which is a colossal race over there. Altior, I suppose he's been odds on nearly every time he races, but he certainly did get a good reception. I guess maybe the Irish are a bit louder as well when they're roaring their horses in. But what this horse has done is very, very unusual. You know, 18 races now unbeaten and just miles ahead of everything else in that division. I guess, Joe, the question would be, if you owned him, would you try to make him into a Gold Cup horse because he's so superior, or would you just keep him at the 2 mile division and let him dominate that? And then that question will probably still be asked, but I think he'll probably stay with the 2 mile division.
Yeah, what's your read on Altior then, David?
Yeah, he teases us, Joe. Every time he runs, he just teases us that little bit. Today, more than ever. You know, there was a brief moment after the second last when Sco Royal hit the front, and he kind of said to us that this is the day he's going to be beaten. This is it. He's off colour. He hasn't jumped as well as he can. And then in the last kind of 100 yards, there's always this sense of inevitability about it. And he won quite snug enough in the end. But at that price, you kind of expect him to be more impressive. It's incredible for so many good 2 mile chasers to come around in such a short period of time. Like Sprinter Sacra, we all thought was one of the best we've ever seen over 2 miles. And little did we know, a couple of years later, Altior will be back. He's different. He's not as flamboyant as Sprinter Sacra, but he's a battle hardened. You know, he gets the job done, and you know, he's going to be a very short price again in the race next year, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no doubt. Actually, just while I both have you, a story which kind of bubbled up more so today, maybe because they were discussing it on ITV and Tony McCoy definitely voiced a strong opinion. I've got a clip here. For people who didn't see it, I'm sure you're familiar with it, lads. Three jockeys were banned, all amateurs, including Declan Lavery, who finished third on Jerry's back in the National Hunt Challenge Cup yesterday. This was a 4 mile slog. Only four of the 18 starting horses finished, and three jockeys were banned, including Lavery, who finished third. The argument of racing authorities was that they continued in the race when it appeared contrary to the welfare of the horses. And they discussed this on ITV this morning, Ed Chamberlain and Francesca Kamani with Tony McCoy. Have a quick listen.
I'm embarrassed for the BHA. You know, talk about bringing racing into disrepute, Ed. The horse that finished third, you know, Jerry's back. He got £13,000 for finishing third. He also, the young lad that rode him, the horse, two horses fell at the second last. The horse's natural instinct, Luke, is to actually, you know, more or less pull up. He did that. You know, I never thought at any stage that he did the wrong thing. You know, took up the each way punters. The horse's welfare, the horse was perfectly fine this morning. My big thing as well is, Luke, what happened if the first and second horse had a fallen? What was Declan Lavery supposed to do then?
Okay, but what happened if the horse that eventually finished third hadn't made it to that position, got to the last fence, was so tired, the jockey was still riding him, clipped the fence, fell, and the worst happened?
I think what happened was he got over the last fence, you know, and that was it. And if you're going to have jump race, if you're not going to have jump racing, you can't have jump racing if you expect that.
But this is a very delicate balance. This is a very delicate balance with welfare in the headlines.
I'm all on for welfare. I've been coming to Cheltenham for 25 years. Brant Duncey from the BHA is obviously Australian. I don't know what experience he's got of jump racing. They don't have jump racing in Australia, and they're letting people like that make the decisions. It's wrong. I have never seen as bad a decision.
Not just him, to be fair.
Not just him.
I'm just playing devil's advocate, but certainly wouldn't be him.
I have not seen as bad a decision in 25 years coming to Cheltenham. Talk about bringing racing into disrepute. imagine punters that were backing him, if that lad had pulled up, or if the other two had fallen and he'd have pulled up.
As you say, Ed, it's a fine line between welfare and competition, but to be fined for finishing third,
it's undefendable.
Thing is, if you have a 4 mile race in very soft ground, the horse is going to finish tired.
We're going to do away with racing then, are we? Not have 4 mile races. And then what happens? Do what they did in Australia. Not picking on the Australians, but.
Well, yeah, to clarify, jumps racing does still exist in Victoria, but it has been turned down to such an extent that it's on the edge.
You come out here and explain to the punters that back the likes of Jerry's back, or the owner. Some per owner would like to come to Cheltenham and get a horse that can walk into the winner's enclosure at Cheltenham and finish third or fourth, and you're going to take that away from them.
There you are. That was the conversation on ITV and Virgin Media One this afternoon. We have David Jennings with us and Johnny Ward. How badly were the three horses flagging, David?
It was one of these races. Obviously, it's 4 miles, stating the obvious. It's 4 miles, it's amateur jockeys. They go probably a lot quicker than they should. It's a big occasion for them. There's only four amateur races at the whole Cheltenham Festival, so they've only got one big moment in the limelight each day, and they obviously go plenty quick enough. Look, the horses were tired, but I couldn't agree more with AP McKay. This was absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely laughable. It's embarrassing. For a jockey, like, there's a rule in the rule book that says you have to ride your horse to the best possible position. To try and obtain the best possible position. That's what Declan Lavery did, and he's getting punished for it with a 10-day ban. Like, there's people who will be listening here that mightn't be racing fans, and they'll be scratching their head. Racing experts are scratching their head. Tony McKay, who's the most successful jump jockey of all time, is scratching his head, and I think he hit the nail on the head, basically saying, we have got Australians at the helm of the BHA. I covered the Melbourne Cup for the Racing Post 2 years ago. It's a different system over there, completely different. They do things differently. They manage things differently. It's just completely different. And when you've got Australians at the helm covering racing that they're not used to covering, I'm sure they're excellent at their job, but it just doesn't work. And the BHA have made an absolute laughingstock of themselves in the last couple of weeks. It's getting worse. I don't know how much worse it can go.
Johnny, is there any argument here that welfare is paramount and that's what ultimately was guiding the decision?
Not at all. Absolutely ridiculous decision by the BHA. Of course, this is the BHA who reprimanded a trainer recently for waving his hands in the air to get a recalcitrant horse to jump off at the start of a race. And if you look at what they said, they thought that it was contrary to the horse's welfare to jump the last. Okay, so what about somebody who's running a marathon? Do you tell that guy running the marathon or that woman running the marathon after 25 miles, you probably shouldn't do the extra mile because I think it'd be better for your welfare? Do you tell a guy who's heading the ball in the penalty box not to head the ball because, you know what, it might be better for your welfare?
But sorry, Johnny, you may well be right in your broader point, but the analogy doesn't really hold. The horse doesn't have free will here. It's got a jockey on board.
Of course the horse has free will. If the horse is tired, the horse doesn't jump the last. And if the horse was tired enough, he just pulls up at the last and refuses, as horses do time and time again. Horses are designed to run and they're designed to jump. If there were wild animals, they would basically effectively be doing the same thing. If you put a horse into a field against another horse, they basically race against each other. This jockey, as AP said, could have finished first if he didn't continue on racing and the other two in front of him fell. What an absolute farce that would have been. There was one horse killed in the race yesterday, obviously Ballyward, and that's very sad, but you know, this was one horse, and this was what the British media was partly focusing on yesterday. They weren't sure whether to focus on the fact that Gavin Cromwell had won the Champion Hurdle, one of the biggest races of the season, or the fact that an animal had died at Cheltenham. The narrative is absolutely absurd over here, and the way the BHA is going, they're going to absolutely end jump racing in Britain. And in Ireland, if you came up with the argument the BHA came up with last night, you would be absolutely laughed at.
And what were they seeing? Like, you know, try and put yourselves in their position for a second. What were they looking at that led them to make the decision?
The horse who was in third after an attritional race was clearly tired.
Yeah.
But you're under the rules obliged to finish best as in your best possible placing. Instead, obviously, it doesn't count if you're ninth or tenth. But if you're to finish third in terms of the reward for the guy who bet the horse, obviously the owners of the horse, you're obliged to obtain your best possible placing. Now, the horse obviously was able to jump the fence. He was fine in the morning. Generally, jockeys will know that they're not going to ask a horse to jump a fence if they think he's physically incapable of it or she's physically incapable of it. The guy Jockeys who are dictating to these jockeys, to my mind, don't have a breeze what horses are like. They don't deal with them day in, day out. Jockeys and trainers do. And I made the point when JT McNamara passed away because he rode an amateur riders race at Cheltenham, he effectively passed away because of an injury sustained in that race. There was never any talk after that of, you know, we can't have amateurs riding at Cheltenham after basically a human fatality. Yet now they're talking because a horse died of not running amateur race in Cheltenham. Bear in mind, this race has been running in Cheltenham since 1860. It's the most run race in Cheltenham history, and amateurs as brilliant as Jamie Codd have been so instrumental in that race. And the finish of the race, the bravery of the winner in putting his neck out so gamely to win the race, was just rendered irrelevant because of the idiocy of the BHA.
Okay. Any other stories from today, David, before we move on to tomorrow?
From today, yeah, I suppose Joseph O'Brien obviously was huge. You know, he in name he hadn't trained a winner, but he was training Ivanovich Gorbatov before he had a license, and it was down under Aidan's name when he won the Triumph Hurdle a couple of years ago. But you know, what Joseph is going to achieve, who knows? You've had him on the show there on Friday a couple of weeks ago. Not only is he a genius, and not only is he the son of a genius, but he's seems to have this way about him of being able to kind of, not as much, you know, take over the limelight, but he's softly spoken, and even talking after Band of Outlaws won today, like, he was just, everything was just effortless to him. He just seems a carbon copy of Aidan, and for Band of Outlaws to win in the manner he did was hugely impressive, and he was a monster gamble as well. He went off very, very short, having been a bigger price earlier on in the day. You know, how many Cheltenham winners is he going to train, Johnny? I don't know, but he's going to be with us for a long, long time.
Yeah, he's effectively becoming the biggest trainer in Ireland quite quickly in terms of his dual-purpose operation. I just don't know how he keeps a handle on it all, because he's so many work riders, horses for 6 furlongs, 2-year-olds, staying chasers, how he keeps on top of them. And God knows, if Sir Eric is beaten tomorrow, there will be some serious long faces in the betting ring and in Ireland's betting shops and all over the country, really, because I think everyone fancies this horse.
So let's move on to tomorrow then. What's jumping out for you, Johnny?
Yeah, Sir Eric, as I said there, he's the good thing of the week, really. He's a horse who's transferred his ability from the flat to National Hunt. Obviously had a small little scare last week, but it should be absolutely fine. He's strong in the betting now.
Johnny has drank so much this week that he thinks that tomorrow is Friday, Joe.
First of all, let me clarify that I haven't been out at all this week. I'm just too busy with Cheltenham. So I have to clarify that.
Okay, sorry, I apologize. The Friday, Johnny.
The race is Friday. What's jumping out tomorrow? So I'm going to give one from JP McManus, from also a juvenile, or a novice rather, in Sancta Simona. She's 20-1 or thereabouts, running in the Mares novice hurdle. She's running against Epitant, who I think will take a lot of beating, but Willie Mullins' horse under the inform Mark Walsh makes plenty of appeal for me. Very interesting each way.
Okay. What about you, David?
A couple I like. The Ryanair Chase is really interesting, wide open. Last year's winner, Balco de Flow, I think is quite interesting here. He's 20-1 for Dennis O'Regan and Henry de Bromhead. And in the last race, Ted Walsh has got Annie second now, who's been hugely disappointing. But I just think he might have been lined up for a crack at this Kim Muir. It's 3 miles 2. I think that the trip is perfect, and he should be able to handle the ground perfectly fine. He's about 10-1, Annie second now. He runs in the Kimmure, which is the last race on Thursday. I think he's got a great chance.
Okay. Text in. Well done to Tiger Roll. It's his birthday tomorrow. Same as my daughter. She's 33 and he's 9, says the texter. So there you go. Everybody's having a good time. How is Cheltenham 2019 treating you, Johnny?
Good, yeah. I actually got in the Leeds-Reading game last night.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a funny trip with Brian Kavanagh, CEO of Horse Racing Ireland, and Eddie Scally and his wife from Gorn, and also Michael from the Injured Jockeys Fund, and we had a good trip, so a really good game, and it's fairly tough going, Joe. I know we get slagged racing jockeys for saying that Cheltenham is a bit of an ordeal, but it's a real slog. You're up very early in the morning. It's constant, and it doesn't feel like half time. If I was coming into half time now, I'd be telling the manager probably take me off after 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm cramping up. Well, listen, don't go anywhere just yet. Thanks a million for joining us, David Jennings as well, deputy Irish editor of the Racing Post. Cheers, lads.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. And
they're on. The Cheltenham Show. On Off the Ball. With Kildare Village. Where there's something extraordinary every day.